Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going, run a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick her on his choke hold. But it's no host bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Wee Too Deep. And with me, as always, is DJ Wavy D. And we're back. We're talking Saturday night's main event this week. But before we get to that, as always, go to the links in the description. Most important, join the Discord. You could vote for, and we need some help here, vote. Because the Discord, we're going to talk about Thirsty Tuesday from last week. We got some questionable results from last week. That we'll talk about. And so we need some more members to help even out the craziness there. But before that, if you're listening on YouTube, last week was the best week we've ever had. Each episode had 43 views as I look at it right now, which I know to a lot of people are saying, hey, it's not a lot, but it's the best episodes we've ever had.
Back to back.
So, thank you to everyone who liked, shared, subscribed. Continue to do that. Go get your merchandise. All the ladies out there, if you're a Wavy D girl, go get you a shirt. And then final thing is send that same support to our other side project that I do, the Women's Pro Wrestling Action. We got 3 episodes up. If you have watched it, let me know what you think of it. If you haven't, tune in. Let me know what you think. But other than that, we're gonna get cooking right now. And this one was a tough one. I'm trying to come up with challenging prompts and not just like, hey, predict WrestleMania type thing. So this one, if you were given control for one day to change one thing about AEW that you think would make it more interesting and more of an entertaining product for the casual fans, what would be that one thing? Wavy D, the mic is yours.
See, this right here is a trick question, okay? Because there's not only one thing that can be done to fix AEW, all right? You know what I'm saying? We can say the easy stuff like, book smaller venues, get better storylines, work on character improvement and character building. We can do all the scapegoat answers, okay? All right, we can do all the easy answers. One thing that I think would make AEW interesting and different is what put TNA on the map originally. Or during their heyday. Bring in that six-sided ring. Bring the six-sided ring back, okay? It'll make you different. It'll make you stand from the product. Because TNA, they had one thing going for them with as far as their action figures and everything, was a six-sided ring. You know what I'm saying? WWE always had the best action figures as far as superstars, the wrestlers that look like the action figures and the quality of the figures. But TNA had a six-sided ring. It made them different. All right? A lot of memorable matches happened in that six-sided ring.
Yeah.
But guess what? If I'm AEW, if I'm in charge of AEW for a day, I'm putting that six-sided ring in there. I'm making those look different. I'm making those look different. You know what I'm saying? You always say that you're the alternative, okay? The alternative product, the other product, a different product. How about we look different? How about we portray ourselves as different and showcase ourselves differently, okay? Let's go wrestle the six-sided ring. it was make some magic happen.
Yeah, that's a unique answer. Wasn't expecting that one. I guess my answer is a scapegoat answer then, because I just said storylines and gimmicks. I would focus on, you know, me and James had this discussion in the casual wrestling Discord that you can be the alternative to WWE, and that's fine. The problem is the presentation that AEW is giving us, for the most part, looks a lot like WWE. So they're not different. So a six-sided ring would make them stand out, absolutely. I think their biggest problem, and this sort of leads into Friday's episode. I'm going to do a little segment called, because I actually believe there's five things that need to be changed that I think would completely benefit AEW. And so the five things Tony Khan needs to do to fix AEW, I'm going to give you all five of those on Friday. The most important of them, though, I believe, if I only had to choose one, would be every character that you put on TV needs to have a gimmick or some sort of storyline. And I don't like the whole, like, go use Google. It's understandable. You can Google who Kenny Omega is and what his feud is with some random Japanese guy. And cool, you could do that. But most people who are watching wrestling don't have the time to do that or don't have the interest while it's on the screen to either – do you want me to research this feud from 20 years ago or do you want me to watch your and pay attention to your product? And so, I mean, we've said how many times, you know, just give us a little promo video. Monday Night Raw last night, and we'll talk about Raw. We literally had the match at WrestleMania between McIntyre and Rollins. It's less than a year old. They still gave us a package as to why they were fighting yesterday and gave us a pretty good cinematic package that any new fan who didn't watch last year's WrestleMania would have completely understood why they were fighting in the main event yesterday. And that's all I think casual fans are asking for is 90% of the casual fan base doesn't know your roster.
Yeah.
And so all we're asking for is storylines that make sense, characters and gimmicks that are entertaining. Because when Tony Khan puts effort into a story, we've seen with Swerve and Hangman, Tony Storm and Mariah May, he could tell some stories. MJF and Bryan Danielson, pretty decent story. So you could put on five-star matches. But if there's no reason for me to watch the match, if there's no reason that I would be interested or understand what's happening in the ring, I'm not going to watch it. And so from a casual fan perspective, it's got to be storylines and gimmicks. So with that, we'll transition into sort of just going over the last week of wrestling since the last show. Friday Night SmackDown. I don't remember much of it. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Are you like me? I know me and Dead Chef had the same opinion that the show was pretty boring on Friday. What were your thoughts on it?
I didn't watch SmackDown this week.
Okay.
So I try to watch SmackDown. In the winter, I watch a lot more of it. But it's like Friday night is usually my go-out night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll go out and then I watch the SmackDown highlights after, you know, later on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Chelsea Green stuff. I like the Morrissey Machine Gun stuff. I like the Bianca and Naomi kind of angle. Still waiting to see what happens with Jade Cargill. I like the Tiffy's Champion now.
Mm-hmm.
I like Nia's character since coming back at the Rumble last year. I like the work she's put in over the course of the year. I like the Cody Kevin Owens stuff.
Yeah.
Also, but it has sucked though over the last 2 weeks. We've had no Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like he won the tribal combat, won the Ulafala back. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, no like celebration afterwards, no promo afterwards.
Right.
He got his necklace back and went home.
Right.
We haven't really heard anything. Even Paul Heyman kind of brushed over it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. Roman Reigns, for as good as that 4-year championship reign was, my number one critique of it was, how hard is it to film one promo at the beach somewhere and call it the island and then put it on TV? He's sort of running this sort of Brock Lesnar-esque schedule, and he's absolutely deserved it. But it feels like the storylines on SmackDown have really been wrapped around Nia and Tiffany and then Kevin Owens and Cody. And they've been pretty good, but everything outside of that just sort of seems lacking to me, especially when like Kevin Owens and Cody basically do the same thing every week. We know it's going to be a brawl somewhere in the crowd. Then that sets up a match, a 6-man tag match later down the line. The Bloodline stuff, it definitely feels like they're stretching this out as far as they can till probably about the Rumble.
And now that Solo and Jacob have a little bit, the early seeds of a little tension.
Yeah, and so they're going to stretch this out till, you know, Chamber and Mania. And so it's going to be slow cooking there. We'll get a great result at WrestleMania, but it's, I don't know, the weeks in between are just, it feels like the show really is missing something. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that, like, Cody Rhodes doesn't have a legitimate contender outside of Kevin Owens that feels like a reasonable threat. Like, Randy Orton could come back, and it would work. They would have to figure out the story behind it. But outside of, like, Kevin Owens right now, like, LA Knight doesn't make any sense story-wise. There's not a credible heel on the SmackDown brand outside of Kevin Owens.
Yeah, and they are currently in the transfer window, so we could see someone come over.
Yep.
If they want to, like, pull, like, a big surprise, shoot, you could push Josh Alexander straight to the main roster.
That would be crazy. That would be crazy. Part of me is feeling like Chad Gable, even if he doesn't win the title, Chad Gable versus Cody Rhodes would be a crazy match. That'd be a crazy match.
Even a feud, because you have Chad and his cronies,
right?
You know, to cause some doubt. Mm. Oh, so speaking of Chad, you know, we'll probably get to this later. Who do you think the lucha teacher that Dom gave him is? Do you think it's gonna be like an actual payoff to like who he actually called? Or you think Chad's just going to show up in 2 weeks with, like, a mask doing some bullshit?
So Dom said in his promo something about, like, the dark arts.
Yeah.
And so I know he said, like, it's supposed to be a luchador. I think it's going to be Malachi or Aleister Black. I do.
I saw that too. His name is like wrestling school.
His wrestling school is Dark Arts Wrestling Academy or something like that. And so I do think it'll be him. I can't think of an actual luchador right now, though, that would make sense.
Same.
Unless there's someone in like Mexico that I've never heard of that, you know, that can play that role. I don't know. But yeah, I do think, I personally think it is going to be Malachi Black. It makes sense.
Is his contract done? I know, like, he was done, like, but his contract time done?
So it appears that it is. I don't know for certain. The thing with wrestling contracts is no one actually knows how much. I mean, we could sort of speculate, but
yeah,
his merch has been removed. From the storyline that they've been telling and some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like Brody King just trademarked some new tag team name, so it seems like House of Black's not going to be a thing anymore. I think he's on the way to AEW. It makes sense. Zelina Vega's his wife.
But she's also an LWO. she's a rave supporter right now. But yeah. Also, she didn't come out with she didn't come Berto. Out with them. She didn't come out with them when they came to save Rey Mysterio this past Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So let's move. Since we already sort of started talking about Raw, let's talk about yesterday's episode. I don't remember the order of shit, so we're just gonna.
The first thing that happened was
So Michael Cole and Wade. Jay Uso, Gunther. So we'll get to the Saturday night main event predictions part of this in a minute. You mentioned in the Discord or the casual wrestling Discord, you thought Gunther's promo was pretty good, and I'm sort of messing around in there. I thought it was actually pretty good. It was one of his better promos. I just don't get behind the whole the whole story they're trying to tell is like Jay's fought his way to the top. I just don't believe his character can beat Gunther, even as poorly as Gunther's been built. There's no reality behind it. What's your thoughts on this whole mini feud we got going on here?
I don't see a future with Jay past Saturday's main event. Him winning the match and, you know, having the moment will be great and all. I just don't know where both characters go after the event if Jay does win the title. Like, where does Gunther go? I feel like he only kind of has a mania spot if he's fighting for a title.
Right.
Or has a title that he's fighting, you know, defending. Because, you know, I don't see him, like, taking a step back down to the IC title. I see Gunther kind of being cemented in the world title spot for a while or wrestling in grudge feuds.
Mm-hmm.
But, and Jey Uso, I'm not quite sure where I see Jay at Mania with or without the title.
Right.
I mean, especially with Tongaloa hurt. That probably threw a wrench in their plans a little bit.
Right.
You know, but I really don't know where I see Jay going after the event with or without title.
Right. Right.
Maybe some type of IC ladder match or IC match or maybe he's the face of the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting question as to how that Mania card gets pieced together. We had a Lyra Valkyria promo sometime during the night where she basically, told us, you know, she captured gold for the first time. She set history. I like the promo. I wish that they would start a feud with, like, she won it, she should immediately. I don't know. I just feel like this title needs to constantly. I mean, she did say she'll be a fighting champion, so I'm assuming she'll have some title matches in the future. Mm. I just feel like the longer you keep it off TV in action, the longer people aren't going to remember it. And so I think it would have been very interesting if she came out, issued some open challenge. And, you know, on the way to Rumble, you know, and then at the Rumble, you know, Becky comes back the Monday after Rumble. Lyra has this open challenge and Becky responds to it, you know, and you could start that feud heading into Mania or something. I think you need with these titles, you need to build like a history there, like. I always go back to NXT. Kalani Jordan won it, and immediately the next week was defending it. And it sort of built some sort of prestige behind the belt. It's on the show. People care about it. Mm. The longer you keep these mid-card belts, people aren't going to care about it if it's not on the show.
I know, and one of the... Well, you know, like when like a wrestler is walking to the ring or whatever, and you see the people in the background, the wrestlers in the background. Mm-hmm. I saw Maxine talking to, I believe it was Natalia.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about. Hopefully, neither of them are going near the IC picture.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know why she's talking to Natalia. Maybe to train her. Maybe train Maxine so Maxine
right.
can be a viable competitor for the IC title.
Right. I want to take. You know, you mentioned that. I want to take a back seat real quick because how could I forget this on SmackDown? My girl B-Fab had a banger match on SmackDown.
That's why you forgot, because it was trash.
Well, you know, it was pretty good. It was really good for the circumstances around the match, knowing that was that her like 20th match in 7 years.
Now, so, you all know it was really banger last night was when Io Sky, you know what I'm saying, when she won that match last night.
Yeah.
You know, saying when she had that beautiful moonsault, all right, mm-hmm. and got the win.
Mm. Yeah,
now, that was amazing. You know, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I low key dozed off during the match,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw like the match ended. They're going to the next segment. I had to rewind the match real fast to see the finish. You know, EO, your future Rumble winner, or sorry, top three Rumble winner.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, we get a little segment, you know, because Sheamus and Braun Breaker, are this upcoming Saturday. We get a little segment to build that up.
Ooh, hear me out. Let me cook. I put this in the Discord the other day. Hear me out. So you know, we're kind of looking for a thing for Cena to do, right? We're looking for a thing for Sheamus to do. What if, you know, kind of storyline wise? We get Braun Breaker, you know, he gets injured in, like, Elimination Chamber, you know, while he's defending his title in Elimination Chamber. He retains, but he comes out with an injury. So he can't defend his title at the show of shows, you know, say WrestleMania. So he vacates his title, and then you run, like, either a little tournament or some qualifying matches, a little, I don't know, triple threat match, you know, whatever you want to do. You get two competitors, and you get Cena versus Sheamus at WrestleMania for the IC title, and then the winner completes their Grand Slam because they're both missing the IC title.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be a nice story. I mean, I wouldn't hate it. I think Cena's winning the Rumble, so.
Nah.
So that doesn't work in my fantasy booking, but I wouldn't hate that story. Trying to think of what else happened. Of course, we got the main event, Drew versus Seth. It was okay. Like, it wasn't their Mania match, but it wasn't supposed to be. I felt this episode just felt like exactly what it was. It was, I don't want to say they threw in the towel because they had the national championship on, but it was definitely, you know, it didn't feel like a go-home show to a big TV product. I hope next Monday is better because, you know, next Saturday is Royal Rumble. Or, yeah, next Saturday is Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So, I hope the next Raw is better as we, you know, there's a lot of the veterans, the spiciest moment of the night. We'll talk about that. CM Punk had a little promo. Wavy D must have completely missed it when it aired.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it was the main event, and I'm in the chat like, yo, what's CM Punk's promo? They say he's supposed to address the crowd tonight, and they're like, yo, it happened.
Yeah, I sent him the little link for it, and I guess he popped for it. I kind of rolled my eyes at it. It was a good moment, but, you know, he talked about, you know, you could even throw Hulk Hogan in the ring, and I'll send his old ass over the ropes or something. His dusty ass.
Yeah, I'm gonna burn. I'm gonna watch Hulkamania burn or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good quote. It's a very good quote. I hope they don't start a feud with this shit, but it's a good quote.
I'm just saying Hulk Hogan's never had a retirement match. Is all I'm saying.
Yeah,
as far as I can recall.
I mean. Let's not put. How about we do this? Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan,
and Goldberg
retire all three of them at the same time.
A retirement match. winner gets one more match.
Oh, good Lord. But yeah, overall, I felt Raw was decent. And I think it accomplished what it set out to do, which is all I can ask for someone. Wasn't the most entertaining show, but I don't think it was supposed to be. I think they're trying to stretch out a lot of the storyline. We had Nia on the show. Didn't she have a match against Bayley?
Yes. Really good match, too. Really good match.
Yeah. Nia
and you had Kofi and Rey.
Kofi and Rey, which was
the first time they wrestled each other in 16 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the first time in 16 years or since they've both been in the company for the last 16 years.
Right.
Because Kofi joined in, what, 08-ish?
Something like that.
So, yeah, and they're both faces forever.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just first time they face each other, period, or the first time in 16 years as they face each other.
Another big, I guess, thing is next week the Raiders are getting a match against Judgment Day, and the Finn isn't going to be in the match.
It's going to be JD and Dom.
Yeah, which is interesting. It feels like they're moving Finn out of the group. You know, it's the trust in Finn, and we always win. Except they've always lost. So I don't know. I feel like Liv is about to turn on all of them. She's got a little anger towards Dom as well.
Yo, so I like that Raquel and Carlito little love interest right there.
Yeah, Carlito's great. His role on screen is crazy.
Is it just me, or I thought they advertised a New Day were going to be a tag team match?
They did, because I posted it in that casual Discord. Who do you guys think the team's going to be? It was like an open challenge. I don't know what happened to it, because everyone was like, oh, it's going to be the LWO, and I'm like, I hope not. But I don't know what changed in the plans, but I could have thought it was advertised as an open challenge.
I don't know. I mean, I know you had Penta versus Pete Dunne.
Yeah, that was a.
So I don't know who could have been a surprise for them. I'm thinking it might have been like Fraxium, but then they're like, you know, Fraxium got a title match on TNA. Yeah. We overbooked them, because I don't see any TNA tag teams that are like big enough right now to just bring over and face the New Day on a random Raw.
Unless you brought the Hardys in, because they are the tag champions in TNA. So unless you brought the Hardys in. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like if they're going to use the Hardys, they're going to save it for like a Mania or a Rumble.
Mm.
And I don't think they wanted to spoil it. Fraxium would have been good had they not been, you know, over. I'm assuming they're all going to be on NXT tonight. So they had to fly back from Dallas. Mm. To Orlando, and they're going to be back in Dallas, I think, or San Antonio, one of the two, on Thursday. TNA's going live for the first time, like, in forever.
Yeah, they're going to do a couple of those shows this year.
Yeah, but, I don't know, maybe plans changed.
How do you feel about Penta's match versus Pete Dunne versus match versus Chad Gable?
I like the Gable match better, but I thought the match last night was, I think the problem is Pete Dunne's like style is very different.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to get into the sort of like British strong style, and he does a lot of joint manipulation type moves.
Yeah.
And nothing against Penta, but Penta didn't really sell some of it 100% the best. So they're gonna give Penta some wins here, I feel. And at least they're not squash matches. Like it could, yeah. I mean, they could put him against like Ricky or something like that. And
which mid-cards do you want to see Penta face in this little run before he gets involved in a big story? Well, I guess Chad Gable's the story, but
right. I would like to see Dom. Finn and JD, one of the three, all of those would be good matches.
I would like Penta versus Kaiser.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. I think even something like a Penta versus Damian, because Damian's sort of at that level where he is main event level, but he's sort of lower tier. And so I think that could get, you know, maybe test Penta. How believable do the fans believe you are? Because everyone's sort of like promoting him, like, oh, he's main event talent. He's world championship potential. I don't have that opinion. But I think he's top tier mid card until Phoenix eventually gets there, and then they're going to win the tag titles. I think that's in the cards. I think that's what he signed on for. He's a tag team guy. You know, with this TNA, I would like to see them bring Santana and against them. That would be pretty good. They did some stuff in AEW before that relationship broke up with Santana and Ortiz.
Mm.
I don't know where the hell Ortiz has been. I asked James the other day. He didn't give me an answer. Apparently he's hurt, but who knows? So let's predict Saturday night's main event. As of now, we got four matches. So my first question, do you think we get a fifth?
Let's see. We got what, SmackDown?
So we have five segments.
Yeah, we got four matches plus the contract signing.
Yeah.
What were the four matches so far?
So it's Gunther versus Jay, Rhea versus Nia, Braun Breaker versus Sheamus, and then Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman.
I can see them adding maybe like the women's tag titles or something.
Yeah.
Bianca and Naomi versus the Witches. Well, aren't the Witches have a number one contender match or something?
Yeah, that's tonight.
Oh, and NXT?
Yeah, they're defending against the Meta Girls tonight. No.
I thought the Witches have a match coming up.
My bad. That's in Atlanta next week.
The Witches versus Bianca.
No, Bianca and the Meta Girls are next week.
I could have swore Isla Dawn if Alba Fire had a match coming up against somebody.
They had a match against the Meta Girls to be number one contender.
Oh, that's what
that was like last week or 2 weeks ago. But that's next week when NXT's live on the road in Atlanta. Bianca and Naomi versus the Meta Girls. Part of me wonders, is that where Jay Cargill comes back?
Is he from Atlanta, right?
That's a good question.
I'm pretty sure Jay's from Atlanta. Sounds right. Well, I think you got a women's tag match or something.
Yeah. Let's see.
Maybe a U.S. title match.
So I actually don't think they add another match because I view these events as house shows or normal, like, standardized TV shows, and this is sort of the way they book a Raw or SmackDown. You get, like, four matches in a segment. So she's from Florida. I don't know where the hell this city is. I've never heard of it before. But Gifford, Florida is where she's from. But either way, I mean, I don't think they bring her back on NXT. It would be cool if they did, but so let's go into predictions here. Let's start with the non-title match, Jacob versus Braun Strowman.
Jacob Fatu. Interference by Carmelo Hayes.
Okay. Do you think I do think Jacob's going to win. Do you think after the match, Solo maybe sort of gets up in Jacob's face to create more tension, or is that like a SmackDown thing the next week?
The only thing I can see happening maybe is Solo or Tama try to get involved and almost cost Jacob the match, but Jacob still wins.
Okay.
I don't know if I see anything post-match.
Right.
I
think if anything happens, it'll be in the Rumble itself.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, yeah, because, you know, the only people I can see interfering might be like Carmelo Hayes or Waller in theory, but there's no faces to, like, balance it out that really matters.
Right.
So I think Jacob just goes over clean.
Okay.
Maybe depending on when the match happens, maybe we get a table spot.
So a clean finish establishes him as a monster, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's what they want to do, right? It's the same thing they did with Bronson Reed when he faced Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman's sort of the go-to guy when they want to try to book a big dude to look like a monster.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all that I think this is. I don't know if it's worth a Saturday night's main event spotlight. I can think of 100 other matches I would rather see, but yeah. I get it. So we'll go with the IC title, Braun Breaker versus Sheamus. I don't think this ends the feud. I think Braun retains. I like your idea of Braun sort of keeping it, getting hurt in the chamber. Because you could do the chamber match for the IC title mm-hmm. instead of, I mean, it doesn't have to be for, you know, the world title. And so Braun getting hurt in there, retaining, but no, he can't defend it any longer. He's hurt on the shelf. And yeah, I like that idea. Braun Breaker is my winner here.
Yeah, I got Braun Breaker winning as well. But also, now that I hear the story back, I just don't see him keeping Braun off the Mania card.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
We'll move to Rhea Ripley versus Wavy D's love interest, Nia Jax, over here.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm a Nia rider forever.
I'll say this. WWE needs to do something with this top of the main event. So Rhea Ripley's in the same position Cody Rhodes is in. They made a super baby face. Didn't build any heels on the roster. I mean, that's why they had to move Nia over, because Nia was a massive heel on SmackDown. She's the only one on that level of a Rhea's face run that could even be competition. Mm. Until, assumingly, she's going to get, you know, whoever wins the Rumble or whoever wins the Chamber match. Just depends on who wins and how that's booked. But I don't hate the match. We have the same four people for like the last 6 months in the title pictures with Liv and Rhea on one side and then Tiffy, Bailey, Nia on the other with other people sort of mixed in there.
That's what happens when Charlotte and Becky take the year off.
I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, Charlotte didn't really have a choice in it. Charlotte
and Oscar's out. You have a lot of top names who you can sell tickets for an event like this.
Yeah.
No Becky, no Charlotte, no Asuka.
No Alexa.
No Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
A lot of names you could throw in there that you just don't have right now.
Yeah. Understood. Who's the winner of this match?
Rhea Ripley. You know what I'm saying? If Nia wins, it's like by disqualification or something. But I got Nia winning. I mean, I got Rhea Ripley winning. Here's how she wins, okay? I think Nia's getting ready to go for a bonsai drop, okay?
Okay.
And then Rhea gets up on the ropes and gives her a riptide off the ropes for 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Okay. Do you think there's any interference?
Maybe by Candace, but...
You don't see someone coming in, like Liv attacking Nia or anything like that?
No.
Because there are people like Nerdy D, and I don't agree with this opinion, but he thinks that that's going to be the Mania match, that they're going to run it back again. I'm of the opinion that feud's over, Rhea and Liv. Mm. I hope Liv stays out of this. If anything, maybe Raquel. But the logical move here is to do this match here. Don't do it any. Rhea's obviously not going to get a title match at Rumble. More than likely, if they do a women's title match, it would be Tiffy.
Yep.
And so have, you know, and this is, that's part of the reason why I believe Charlotte's going to win the Rumble, and we'll get our Rumble predictions next week. As well, we might actually go through our little spreadsheet that
yeah, we can do that.
We can go through our spreadsheet that Snuggles sent us out, which, by the way, if you are listening, send my, you know, comment if you want to join Snuggles thing, and I can send it to you because I have it saved, or, you know, Wavy D could probably send it to you, or we can get Snuggles to send it to you. Just a little fun competition that we're doing here. No prize, no entry fee, just, you know, just some predictions to have some fun with it. But yeah, so I think that's part of the reason Charlotte wins is Tiffy's going to have a match. Charlotte, they probably start with the women. Charlotte wins. Tiffy's match comes out. We have the stare down between Charlotte and Tiffy. So I think that's where we're at. Our main event, what I'm assuming is going to be the main event, seeming that the whole build up to this is you have main event Jey Uso as a nickname, and Gunther Soul promos basically like, that's your nickname, but it's my like life. Like, I am the main event when I get in the ring. So Gunther versus Jey Uso. Is there a chance Jey Uso wins this match?
I give Jey Uso like a 15% chance of walking out of main event with the title. Mm. 15%.
Mm. I don't even know if I go that high. So my reasoning for that is, as I said during our Raw little rundown, I just don't see a future where Jey Uso is the guy. I think he has that ability to draw, you know, we've said this like the last year about him. He has the ability to get the crowd behind him, and the entrance is cool, but you turn the music off, the lights go down, and the bell rings. I just don't think he's as entertaining in that aspect. Mm. I think he could sell tickets. He'll bring the kids to the arena. But I don't think that he is like world champion material.
If there's any way they put the title on Jey and he turns around and loses it at Chamber,
I mean, I could see him being like a transitional. I'm not a big fan of swapping titles like that on the way to your biggest show. Like, I want, like, at this point in time, you need to have like a plan. So like, it would be one thing if we're building for like a Backlash, and Jey wins and goes and defends that Backlash and loses the title or something like that. Or if you're building to like, even like a SummerSlam, I think you could get away with it. But you're building for WrestleMania. Like, you need to have like the best of the best on the card here.
So is there any way, maybe, let's see, say Jey wins the title, goes to Chamber, loses to, say, Damian Priest, and we run Priest versus Balor back at Mania?
I mean, they could do it.
The street fight, and like even when Finn was going on a stretcher, Damian still attacked him. They still got a little bit of unfinished business. You can even, depending who wins the Rumble and faces like Cody or whatever, or whoever they pick, say you got like a triple threat match between like Seth, Drew, and Punk for the world title.
I don't hate it. I think just the way my mind works, like, you're heading into your biggest event. You should have like your storyline set in stone, and the belt shouldn't be flipping back and forth heading into your biggest event. That's just sort of how my mind works. I wouldn't hate it though.
Which styles would you put in Chamber then? Or would you make them only number one contender matches?
So the women's Chamber would be a number one contenders. And then I would do the IC for the men's.
I don't know. Okay. Which title do you think the Rumble winner gets is going to go after? And which title do you think the chamber winners could go after.
So on the women's side, I think Charlotte's winning, obviously. So she's going to go after Tiffy. And I still have a hunch that Bianca wins chamber.
And goes after Rhea.
And I have a whole storyline heading into like SummerSlam as to why I believe we could do that. On the men's side, I think Cena wins and goes after Gunther. That's sort of been Gunther, sort of, you know, he's been going after veterans. He's been going after the guys who are highly entertaining, and a lot of their gimmick is playing to the crowd. You know, Bret Hart, Goldberg, Jey Uso, Priest, and then Cena. And I've said this, I think I went over this a couple weeks ago, with Cody and his belt. I don't think Cody defends at Mania. I have, you know, we talk about like positioning on the card. As how I would book it right now is, you know, team. Let me set it up. We have the ladder match next week with Cody and Kevin Owens. If they booked the way I would book, I would have something happen where the ref gets knocked out, Triple H comes out, helps Kevin Owens win the belt. And so you get like team authority, and maybe Randy also comes out. You know, Randy's, you know, Triple H's guy. So I would have team authority be Randy, Kevin, Drew, and Seth. And I know it makes no sense because Drew and Seth just fought each other, but that match itself didn't really make any sense to me why that had to happen, because they're both technically, you know, I guess bad guys. But then you would have like Team Cody, and Team Cody would be Cody, CM Punk, Sami Zayn, Jey Uso, which sort of is basically War Games running back again. But that would be my Mania match. And my reasoning for that is, one, Cody doesn't have a legitimate opponent, and I don't think a month and a half is enough time to genuinely build a story when the Royal Rumble winner, I believe, goes after Gunther. Even if it's not Cena, I think it'll be someone like Braun Breaker or something like that. And so yeah, I don't necessarily believe Cody has to defend the title, especially if the story that they tell leading into that, if it's the way I would book it, I think that's better, a bigger moment than Cody defending the title against some meaningless opponent.
Do you think there's any possibility behind this idea of Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn for a title at Mania?
I could get behind it.
Well, then that's your title match. So that kind of messes up your tag team match.
So, in a way, yeah, but I can get behind it. I don't think it's what they do, but if they do go that direction, I can get behind it. I still think the best way out of this to put, because there's only a certain amount of places on the card. Running two nights, the traditional way they run this for Mania, if they follow the way he booked it the last 2 years, is somewhere around 6 to 7 matches a night. There's not enough places to put, you know, where all the top guys get matches by themselves.
But where's Chamber at again? Is there?
Chamber is in Toronto.
So, I mean, is there a way where Kevin Owens walks out of Rumble
with the champion and Sami wins the Rumble? With the
championship, and then Sami wins the Chamber?
There's always that way. I just...
And we get Cody versus, like, Randy or something? Or Cody versus Roman?
So my problem with that is, my problem is to spread that out, you'll then have to kick, like, the IC title or the U.S. title or the women's mid-cards off the show.
Off what, the Chamber?
Off of Mania. Because my whole argument of...
That's like a whole week now. You have the SmackDown beforehand, which you'll probably use for, like,
the women's tag titles, one of the men's tag titles.
I get the reasoning. My whole argument against that though is, how much more important does this make the title if you get that Mania moment? I think it's Lyra versus Becky, no doubt, at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that could be a Mania match.
And I also think, now, is Chelsea Green versus Piper Niven Mania worthy? I would say no. You can remove that from the card. I think it would be okay.
You can do Chelsea and Piper on the SmackDown before Mania. It could be the main event of SmackDown before Mania.
Yeah. Again, I'm not against it. I just think you create these titles. And the problem is when you create like the women's tag team, you didn't put it in a position for it to succeed. And I think the best way you can do it is put both of them on the Mania card and put them in a position where they can succeed.
I mean, it also depends who's holding the women's tag titles.
I don't necessarily think you need the women's tag title. I'm more so talking
I thought you said you need the women's tag titles on Mania.
Well, no, I was saying when they created the tag titles, they didn't put them in a position to succeed. And so my fear is if you don't have the two women's mid-card titles on Mania, that history is going to repeat itself. And you need to – I think the smartest way to do it is to just put both of them on the show. I don't necessarily – like, I'm probably in the minority here, but I don't necessarily think that – because even, like, last year, like, Cody's whole thing – I get he won the title at Mania. But the bigger moment that was made was The Rock wrestling again. And so I think moments are better than matches or mean more than matches when it comes to Mania. And I think from a moment perspective – having like Team Cody versus Team Authority / Triple H, I think that's a better moment that you can make than having Cody in some random title match.
So let's say hypothetically, right? Say we get seven matches a night.
Mm-hmm.
Say you get seven matches a night. So say for example, we got night one WWE Championship.
Okay.
Night two World Heavyweight Championship. Let's just say night one, we'll just, for argument's sake, is SmackDown shit, and night two is Raw shit. Okay? Yeah. So night one, we got the WWE Championship, the U.S. Championship, the Women's U.S. Championship, the SmackDown tag titles. I guess you could say, the Women's tag titles? And then you got two more grudge matches.
I mean, if you're asking for matches, I can just tell you my prediction of how I think it's going to go each night.
I'm saying as far as like if we want the, you know, the titles to mean something, we arguably have five title matches, and we have the space for two grudge matches. That's seven matches if we're going to put the women's tag titles on Mania.
So. I guess the best way to explain it would be, like, night one, I have the SmackDown tag titles starting in the show. Fatal 4-Way, you can do a ladder match if you want to. I have Fatu versus Solo. I have the U.S. title, Triple Threat. I have Piper versus Chelsea. I have Rhea versus Bianca. And then I have main eventing night one would be the Team Cody versus the Team Authority thing. I think that's a great way to main event and close out a show. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 matches.
Yeah, I think you covered all those were tag. I mean, all those were championship matches except for Solo, and you got the Cody match.
Right.
Which title would you be missing? The women's tag title, if you were to put it on the show?
I don't necessarily think that's going to be on the show. My point is that when it comes to the women's mid-card, you can't keep them off of Mania. And what my fear is if you break up, the only way you can accomplish what I just did is if you have a 4-on-4 tag match with Cody Rhodes involved in it. Because if all eight of those superstars have their own feud and their own matches, that's at least four matches extra on the card.
Well, fine. Let's say we scrap the women's tag team titles, and they're like say on SmackDown or whatever, right?
Right.
And say we're gonna do like 7 matches. You got 4 title matches, and you got 3 grudge matches. So you have room for the. My argument is that you can't have WrestleMania without the WWE title getting defended. I know hypothetically you can, but the only time it's happened was the first WrestleMania when Hogan tagged with like fucking Mr. T or whatever. So that's the only time the WWE title has not been defended at Mania. And outside of that, there's only been 5 times, I think, or 6 times where the WWE Championship didn't headline WrestleMania. So the WWE title and WrestleMania are hand in hand pretty much statistically.
I think the way you're looking at it, 100%, I understand where you're coming from. I also think that the new guard in WWE doesn't really care about the history.
As far as Mania, the Big Show, I can see him not defending the title on like a Backlash or Hell in a Cell or whatever.
So he's on the show. The title's on the show. It's main eventing night one, and it's a big moment match where you can end and you can end a lot of feuds at that area at that point, and could potentially tell and start new feuds. And so for me, the way I look at it is storyline and moments and it means a lot more than the title being defended, because at the end of the day, the title is just a prop, so it doesn't actually mean anything.
Well, winning or / losing or retaining the championship at Mania is what makes legacies. So it makes characters.
But Cody's Hall of Famers. Cody's already done that, though.
Yeah, but what if Cody loses the title to the next person? That's their moment, their legacy.
So realistically, Cody Rhodes isn't losing this title to some nobody without a big story being. And that's my whole point.
We're not saying nobody. I mean, he. Which are like
so realistically? Realistically, who does Cody face at Royal Rumble?
Well, I'm saying you could bounce the title to another already established superstar. We've had Cena versus Randy in their peaks, Cena versus Triple H in their peaks for these titles, where both wrestlers are already certified Hall of Famers and they're wrestling for the title. It's gonna make one's career.
Right, so realistically, the match is Cody versus Randy, or like a Cody versus Kevin Owens again. I don't think that needs to happen at Mania, where, again, the moment means more than the match itself. Because Cody doesn't need a title win. This is also a good way to get Punk his main event. There's no real story for Punk to main event right now. And so this is how you blend together
Punk versus Cody.
But there's no story for that.
Well, you know, he's been calling out Cody and Cena and all them. Literally on his on them after he won the after he beat Drew, he on his way back up the ramp, he was talking to the camera. He said Cody, I'm coming for you next.
And so I don't want to take all day arguing this. I think we see it differently. I just feel that from a main event point of view, or from a Mania point of view, I think we're every like wrestling fans are so in this tight. This title has to be, and they're in this zone. And I think the new guard and Endeavor and Triple H running the show, I don't think that they care about all of that. I think they want to make money, and I think they care about moments and what brings new people in. And you have to have a Jey Uso on the card, and you have to have a CM Punk on the card, and you have to have Cody, and you right night 2 is going to be the big night where you get Rock and Roman and things like that. And so I just realistically looking at the trajectory, there's no realistic story for a title match against Cody Rhodes right now.
I think, you know, CM Punk and Cody is the way to go. Remember, CM Punk still has his favor to cash in with Paul Heyman. Well, whatever that favor is, he's still got to cash it in.
I mean, the favor's not going to be give me a match against Cody.
What's the favor?
the fuck if I know, but it's not going to be give me a match.
What if Roman and Cody, Roman and CM Punk are the last two men in the Rumble, right? Heyman's there at ringside, okay?
But I don't.
And Heyman picks Punk over Roman. His favorite was to be my advocate, Paul Heyman guy.
So the question is why the fuck is Paul Heyman ringside at the fucking Royal Rumble?
Why not?
That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, him picking CM Punk over Roman.
That makes sense, but why is he ringside at the Royal Rumble?
I mean, he could come up to ringside. I'm not saying he comes out with Roman and holds his hand to the ring.
So I'll just spoil my little predictions. I don't think CM Punk's going to be there because I think there's a bigger theme here. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you my last four. My last four are Cena, Roman, Rock, and Solo. Those are my last four. And I think what we get is The Rock looks at Solo. Let me back up. Number five to my last five, those four plus Jacob Fatu. I think Solo eliminates Jacob. Jacob gets frustrated and pissed off, and he runs back in the ring and eliminates Solo. So now our final three are Rock, Roman, and Cena, the goats of the last two generations, staring at each other with the above, maybe a drone shot or something, of the three just circling the ring. I think that in the midst of Rock and Roman sort of figuring out who's who and trying to attack Cena, they eliminate each other. Maybe The Rock eliminates Roman, and Cena then gets Rock face to face, and Cena wins the match. That's sort of how I have this predicted. And so I'm 90% probably going to be wrong with my WrestleMania predictions. I have story. I've put in a lot of thought in how I've booked this.
Well, if Cena wins Rumble, why can't Cena face Cody?
Because there's why would you put?
Well, the story has been a story for like the last 28 years. That wasn't
my question. My question was going to be, why would you put Superman versus Superman?
It's a dream match before Cena goes bye bye.
But the more realistic story is Cena wins Rumble, Gunther comes out and he challenges Gunther because of that's the way Cena's always done it. It's almost a playback to Cena versus Rusev in sort of style of match. The angry European versus John Cena Superman. I think there's a bigger moment made for Cody than defending the title, I believe.
I think it's easier to get Gunther an opponent than it is to get Cody an opponent. So like Cena winning Rumble if he wins it and faces Cody. I mean, also I don't think Cena wins the Rumble. I think Cena goes on a storyline of I'm running out of chances. I lost that Rumble. I lost that Money in the Bank. I lost that
because I have Cena winning the Rumble, then I have Cena beating Gunther to win 17, and then I think he defends all the way up through the end of his career, and he goes out and he puts somebody over.
I think we can revisit our predictions next week, but
yeah, let's move on to Beastmaster's questions. And I say it that way because I don't know what planet this dude was on when he sent this question.
You missed your MVP of the week.
Oh shit, you're right. Who's your MVP of the week?
Oh shoot. My MVP of the week is good question. Come back to me. Who's your MVP?
I'll talk a lot more about TNA Genesis on Friday. I spent the $40 and bought it. Decent pay-per-view. I'll talk about it Friday. My MVP of the week is Jordynne Grace because she showed everybody what a true professional in professional wrestling is. She don't like Tessa Blanchard. Wanted really nothing to do with her. Did not want her coming back into the company. Knew her time was running thin. She could have asked TNA, this is my last event. I want, I want to go out, leave this company, go to WWE, and I want my hand raised. But instead, she thinks about the company, building the next big heel in the company, and she goes out on her shoulders. I truly, first off, put on a banger match, but I truly appreciate that level of professional ability to look over the fact that you don't like somebody, maybe you don't, and to go out, make money, and maybe the AEW women's locker room can learn from it with this Britt Baker shit. We'll talk about that on Friday as well. But yeah, that's my MVP of the week. I think Jordynne Grace is the true definition of what pro wrestling should be.
My first MVP of the week is Joe Hendry. Finally capturing the TNA World Championship. It's going to look nice around his waist when he, debuts. Shows up at the Royal Rumble. It's going to look amazing on his waist. Too bad Nick Nemeth couldn't come back holding the title at Royal Rumble. And my second MVP is the person who started the You're a Racist chant against Tessa Blanchard at the pay-per-view. Mm. I found that very hilarious when I saw it on Twitter. The two of the girls are just laying in the ring exhausted halfway through the match, and the crowd's chanting, "You're a racist." And I'm not gonna lie, if you didn't know the story and you just tuned into this match, you're like, "Damn,
well, that's crazy. That's crazy heat." Like, I know, like, so I'm gonna give away my little punchline here, but people, wrestling fans, I need y'all to understand something. She came back as a heel as a reason. Any reaction you gave to her is a good thing to TNA. And so that chant just launched her heel run into the ceiling. TNA's backstage cheering this, that you give her this much heat. And so you kind of played yourself. But I'll talk about that.
I saw someone on Twitter. They said it sucks that she's a racist it sucks that she's an asshole because she's kind of hot. They said they want to deep throw her chin.
The crimson chin. Yes, sir. but we'll move into B-Master's questions here. If you're in the Discord, I'm going to need y'all to out-submit questions from B-Master. B-Master got us like four a week, and I like it. I need some more from more participation. Looking at you, James, I know you got questions. Cody, B-Master's got us questions down. Kara, I know you're in there. You can ask some questions. His first question is sort of two parts. The first one is, if you could give immortality to any wrestler in any company, who would it be?
I give it to CM Punk.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably CM Punk. Because CM Punk, not only is he's a wizard and a maestro, he can still go in the ring. He has great psychology wrestling. But I would like to see CM Punk, while he's still, not in his prime per se, but while he can still wrestle, I want to see him wrestle some of these young guys who are going to be big things in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And also, I would love to have CM Punk as a manager, as a commentator. Yep. I want his brain and mind in wrestling. So even if all his immortality he doesn't spend as a wrestler,
right?
I want his wrestling brain involved in wrestling.
Yeah. So my answer, I'm gonna be honest with you, I ain't really think through this until about right now. This was a strange question to receive. I'm just gonna be straight up honest with you. I saw this pop up. I'm like, what world is this man in? It's a good question. It's not one I expected to ever get. My answer is Roman Reigns. For one reason and one reason alone.
You want more?
I want this bloodline story to last forever so that the IWC can cry about it every time he's on TV. I think that would be absolutely hilarious. His second part.
Have him wrestle Jimmy and Jay's kids in a few years.
His second part is sort of the same thing, but if you could go back and bring anyone back from the dead to give immortality to, who would that be?
Chris Benoit.
I mean, that's the obvious answer.
No. Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, Eddie was my answer as well. There's so much. Like, Eddie died, he was like, what, mid-40s?
Yeah.
He'd still be wrestling right now. I 100% believe he'd still be wrestling right now. But we missed, like, Eddie versus AJ Styles.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie versus, you know, even like an Omega. Like, I imagine Eddie would run the indie scene at some point. Yeah.
Even just having his brain in
rough, yeah,
on the creative side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Eddie Guerrero was only 38.
30, damn.
In 2005. I mean, so he would be like 58 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 54 right now.
I mean, Rey Mysterio is only in his 40s, but.
No, Ray just turned 50. He's either 49 or 50.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound like Ray's like 50, 45. Ray Mysterio's like, he's 50. He turned 50 back in the summer.
Okay. Damn, Ray's still going.
So, if you know, Eddie was 54. Say, let's see. AJ Styles came over in what, 2018?
16. So,
2016.
Yeah.
So Eddie probably been like in the last year or so of his you know career. We could have seen like, I don't know. Let's see. Like say early 2010s. So you know, say who's someone in the early 2010s? Eddie versus Jeff Hardy.
And we saw him against Batista, but yeah, Hardy at the top. Daniel Bryan.
Oh yeah, Daniel Bryan. Eddie and a further developed John Cena.
Yeah. Eddie and Ryback. No, I'm kidding. Ryback.
Ooh. Eddie and Kermit. Current Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, that'd be crazy.
Imagine the promo stories between like a Eddie Guerrero and like an MJF.
Right.
Eddie and CM Punk.
His next question here is, who do you think is or was the best ever color commentator? So this isn't the main guy, but the sort of sidekick. Who's the best ever, in your opinion?
So I haven't gone back and listened to this man. It's just based off of, like, memories. Because him and his partner were such a great duo, but I would say RIP to Don Nelson.
Okay.
It's Don Nelson, right? Nelson?
I believe so, yeah.
Mike Tenay and Don, yeah, from TNA?
Yeah.
Mike Tenay was a great play-by-play guy, but Don, he was a great color commentator. This is back when, I think it might have been after. You had Cole and Taz on SmackDown, and JR and King on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it was like Don versus Taz versus Jerry King Waller as far as color commentators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Don. Oh no, sorry, Don West.
Yeah, Don West. Yeah.
Don West. Sorry. Oh, Mike Tenay and Don West. Don West was a great talent. A great color commentator on TNA. He had a lot of great moments on TV. Because he was there from like first starting TNA, like TNA under like when they I don't even know if they had a six side ring yet when they had their first few weeks of programming. And so I had good memories of him as a kid. And then if you want to say Joey Styles, I think he's in a class all of his own. He did commentary solo by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a play-by-play and a color commentator at the same time. I think Joey Styles needs to get more flowers. That man carried he was the voice of ECW and carried that. But those are my guys, Don West and Joey Styles.
I mean, I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm going to say JBL solely because I don't have many memories of, I mean, like, of course I remember like Ross and Lawler on the together. I wasn't a big fan of King as a commentator though. I'll just be honest. And I don't have memories of anything outside of like 2014 until present. And so, I mean, we were running through commentators like crazy during that period of time. JBL's always been sort of one of my favorites. He showed why on Monday. So, yeah, I'm going to go with JBL. His last question.
Paul Heyman's not a bad choice either.
Paul Heyman, yeah, Paul Heyman was pretty good.
And Morrow, but he was more of a play-by-play guy, right?
He was more of that play-by-play. His last question, in your opinion, do you think color commentators are better as faces or heels?
Well, I mean, a great one is a great one. I think it's easier to be a good color commentator when you're a heel commentator.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier because it's kind of easy to talk up the bad guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's easier to be hated than it is to be liked.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you can just, you know, everyone has a mean side, everyone has a bad side. Mm-hmm. And you just kinda you exaggerate that and dive deeper into that. Whereas like, you know, to be a good guy, you know, you can be a good guy and just be boring. You can be a boring good guy. You know what I'm saying? So I would say it's easier to be a heel one. And I guess I would rather be a heel commentator. Commentator than the face one.
So my I agree. I think the best ones are heels just because just historically the best, you know, Ventura, JBL, Corey Graves, guys like that. Historically, when they're you know, the heel color commentator tends to do better. My real answer though is the best color commentator Tater is those who can compliment the person that's on the table with them. So if you have someone like Michael Cole, who's your play-by-play guy, he's going to be a face. And so he would need a really good, you know, heel to go with him. Whereas if you have someone like Corey, who can do play-by-play and be, you know, sort of the problem is I don't really think that there has been any real play-by-play guys who have been the heels that I can remember.
A good one is when Michael Cole and Jerry King Lawler were doing the two-man group together.
Yeah.
Two-man table. When Jerry went into the heart attack.
Yeah.
Around that time when it was just two of them.
Yeah. We'll move on to Thirsty Tuesday. So last week's results, Julia versus Jasmine Nix. Jasmine Nix has moved on and won that matchup. For TNA, between Danny Luna and Killer Kelly. Killer Kelly won that one. For main roster, we had Chelsea Green versus Kathy Kelly, and Kathy Kelly won that one, questionably.
I'm not upset with that one.
And then the one I'm most upset with is Julia Hart beats Britt Baker. And I really question this a lot. But moving on to this week's matchups from TNA, we're going to go ahead and do Tessa Blanchard versus Savannah Evans. Do your research for those if you don't know what they look like. From main roster WWE, we're going to do Bianca Belair versus Dakota Kai. From AEW, we're going to do Red Velvet versus Anna Jay. And from NXT, we got Cora Jade versus Tatum Paxley.
Dang, I see a lot of sweeps this week.
Yeah.
A lot of sweeps. Gonna be Sweep City out here.
All right. Any final thoughts from you before we take this one and go home?
Yeah. So, you know, Wade D's been on the search for love, right? You know what I'm saying? We talked about this past couple weeks. I've been on the search for love. And so, you know, I was going through my apps or whatever, right? You know,
right.
I got a little notification saying that that someone liked you, right?
Right.
And you know how you can see like the shadowy version of the picture, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. you know we're not buying apps out here. We're not buying right. dating apps, but right. you can see the shadowy picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it showed the person who liked me. I can match up the colors with the shadow. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, this is the person. I'm not gonna hold you. Not my type. They look more like a man than me. I gonna hold you. I would say more like a man, but they look, you know, they're on the manly side. And so you know, I went to the bio. You know, saying the girl's bio is a girl. It's a Tom girl. The girl yeah. said, mask in the streets, but a femme in the sheets. So essentially, I was like, so, and then I replied, I was asking about their bio. I was like, yo, question about your bio. I was like, but what does this mean? And they're explaining how, you know, they're kind of like a tomboy, yada, yada, but, you know, in the bedroom, you know, they're feminine, you know, saying they're a girl, yada, yada. And I was like, so what you're saying is I could borrow your drip. And then make you drip. That's what I was saying. And it was like, LOL, yeah, 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 yeah. All right, so that was one story. That was kind of entertaining. That was one story.
Mm.
And I go hold you. I might have to move on to Florida. All
right.
I might got to move to Florida. Okay. I might get a job at the PC Center. Okay.
All
right. So you know, I imagine a little girl. You know what I'm saying? This shorty. And she's, you know, she lived down in Florida, you know what I'm saying? And she's checking off boxes left and right. And right. everything Wavy D's looking for, except she lived far away.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I would have been took her on a date, been cuffed her up.
Right.
But she lived, you know, 23 hours away by car.
Mm.
So, you know, if I had the money to pick up and leave, shit. I would call them HBK, yo. Let me get a job. I got to follow my love down to Orlando. All right, guys. I got a new thing starting for y'all next week. Okay, new things starting for y'all next week. So, Wavy D, I'm not only on a journey to find love, but I'm on a journey to get fit again. Okay, I'm looking to slim down. Okay, I'm looking to get back into basketball shape. All right. You know, it was only a me 4 years ago where I could play like six, seven hours of straight basketball, right? Game after game after game, in the hot summer sun or even at the Y at college, I was playing basketball up and down the court. You know, I was a big dude, but I was in basketball shape. That's what I like to say. Mm. Athletic big.
Right.
But over the past few years, your boy Wavy D has got kind of fluffy. You know what I'm saying? I got kind of big. Even like 2 years ago, I wasn't that big, but I got big. All right. I put on some weight. So over the next year and beyond, Wavy D is going to go on the fitness journey. All right.
Mm.
All right. Start, you know, I drank like 8 bottles of water today. Okay. The food intake wasn't the best, but we'll work on that. Okay. We're working on the food starting tomorrow, but as far as my water and my sugar intake, we doing well. All right. So starting next week, in some part of my screen, okay, we gonna see my weight, okay, and episode by episode, all right, month by month, episode by episode, we're gonna see if that number goes down, okay. Hopefully it goes down. It might, as long as it's going down, we're doing good.
Yeah. Right.
Now, Wavy D, if you want to join me, you can join me. No pressure. But, I would do it this way. The followers and the listeners, they can keep me, they can hold me accountable, okay?
Yeah.
If 1 week it says like 420, and then, you know, next week it says like 422, guess what? Comments, I'm going to need you to get on me.
Like, right.
You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. All right. So start next week. I'm going to put the starting weight up there. We're gonna do
the Biggest Loser.
Yeah, we're eventually gonna find a goal weight. But, yeah, you know, we're just gonna start off by losing weight, and eventually we'll find a goal. My goal is to go down like two shirt sizes by the end of the year.
I feel that. All right, y'all heard the man. Hold him accountable. I'll ponder joining the challenge. I'll think about it.
Yes, slapping me, Biggest Loser.
With that, y'all, thank y'all for listening. Like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about us. You know, if you have contacts with Triple H, hell, even Tony Khan, let us know. We'll love to join the show. You know, put Wavy D in that AEW booking room and he'll still steer the ship.
Yeah,
back on course.
I'll try.
But with that, y'all, thank you again for watching. Until next time, we will see you on the next episode. Have a great rest of your day.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping meat wrestling every Tuesday.